Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing. Oh, ever loud. Testing. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Where do you come from?
New Brunswick.
How long have you been in Toronto or London?
Oh, I've been in Ontario for about 3 years.
Is it on already?
It's on.
What's your name?
My name is Andrea Simon.
And what's your address?
You mean my present address?
Yeah.
857 Lovett Street, London.
What's your phone number?
My phone number is 673-3637.
You don't mind me asking your date of birth?
No.
Okay, what's your date of birth?
My date of birth is August 4th, 1966.
Place of birth?
My place of birth was Bee Cove Indian Reserve.
And your band membership?
My band membership? Mi'kmaq.
What type of craft do you do?
I do oil paintings, and I'm a cartoonist, and an occasional actress.
Here.
I'm going to ask you a few questions pertaining to the type of work that you do, or the type of craft that you do, rather.
Okay.
What crafts do you do? This is a different thing.
What crafts?
Okay, what type of painting do you do? It's different.
Oils.
Oil
painting, yes. Yeah. Mostly oils.
Yeah. Okay,
and what line of painting is it? Is it like an abstract?
No, I don't really deal with abstract. I deal with realistic pictures. I draw portraits, some abstract.
Do you sell your work?
No.
Do you exhibit any of your work?
I have exhibited it in Toronto.
How long have you been doing this type of work?
I've been doing this for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And who taught you? How did you learn it?
Myself.
Why did you learn this?
Because I was interested and I enjoyed it. And I knew I could do it.
Is there any type of traditional painting that you put on your work, on your painting?
I try to bring out Mi'kmaq culture through my pictures. Like the clothing the people wear, the setting, maybe the art.
What do you get from doing this type of painting? What do you get from painting? Satisfaction of it being done?
No!
Just, I guess, to record history that I could let people see my history of my people, because a lot of that's what I do. I'll do legends or maybe something that was symbolic to my people that hasn't been told yet.
What does your family think about your paintings?
All my family is artistic, the whole family.
What does the Native community do to show how they feel about your work, about your paintings?
Well, they encourage me and they say it's good and that I should keep going.
Do they ever contact you or give you people to that contact you? Like, do they send people to you, your community? Is that one of their ways of showing that they know your work?
Well, when I cartoon, a lot of them are interested in my cartooning. A lot of my cartooning, I've facilitated groups because I find people learn better when they visualize things. So a lot of colleges have contacted me for my work.
When you do your cartooning, do you ever do native cartooning?
Like, yeah, that's what it is, native cartoons. Nothing else.
What does the non-native community think and feel about your painting?
Well, they're not really knowledgeable about my painting, but what they have seen, they've really liked. And of course, they're really fascinated by my cartoons.
Do you ever go into schools or churches? Or not churches, but do you go into schools and do any kind of cartooning there when the kids are in their classroom?
Yes, I have done it for the Native Canadian Center for the children.
And how does the children feel about it?
They laugh.
Do you get paid for doing that?
No.
You don't get paid for it?
No, most of my work that I've done with people have been voluntarily.
The material that you use and the symbols, the colors and design, can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, I like to use contrasting colors. I like to use colors that have meaning, like you know that Native people have a code for their color psychology. Green, you color like bear color, happy color. The red, a powerful color. So I like to use red and green and yellow, a few black.
Do you recall any traditional stories that were spoken to you or taught to you as a child? Do you use that in your painting?
Sure I do. I use that with my cartooning too.
And have you heard of any Native women's, any traditional stories that are spoken of Native women's work?
Pardon?
Do you recall any traditional stories that speak of Native women's work? Like, back in maybe in your grandmother's time, did she ever tell you a story about a Native woman and any story that does this type of work? Or
like painting?
Yeah, well.
Well, for instance, I make sweaters, and I have one here, and it's a story about one woman. So when she wears that sweater, she reveals her identity, who she is, her clanship, and her nation, and the whole Iroquois nation. A lot of works.
See this sweater.
Yeah. Go get it. You want to go get it, please? Our people talk about art, like my people are very artistic, and who inspired me was my uncle, and most of our legends he's recorded in oil paintings, so I got attracted by his work. And the older women, they do basketing and they knit clothes, and a lot of my child's clothes I knit, and I make quilts. Haven't done that for a while.
Do you feel that this type of painting is dying out, or is it coming in?
I don't think it's dying out. I don't think so. I think it's coming back.
Do you think that it ever will die out?
I don't think so.
And what do you do to maintain it or to preserve it?
What do I do?
Do you teach other people how to paint traditional painting? Or?
I don't know what you mean by traditional painting. Like, you know, there's several types of Native people, and so maybe that's what you mean by traditional painting. But as you know, we used to run a house in Toronto for Native artists. So I used to be responsible for facilitating children's art programs and after school programs, like learning their coordination of colors, and we had beadwork for them. We had them making leather goods, and we had silk screening. They did silk screening, and so we done a lot of interesting work.
Do you feel that future generations can benefit from what you're doing?
Yes, I think so. Well, I know so.
And the last question here.
Start from there, might be, generation.
There might be more questions later on, but do you feel that what we're trying to do, what Betsy and I are trying to do, is going to benefit you in the future or the Native people in the future?
What are you trying to do?
What am I trying to do? Well, what we're trying to do is get together all the Native women that do craft work to kind of preserve what the Native women do, mainly because a lot of the work, a lot of the, not only painting or beadwork or stories or knowing how to cook corn soup, a lot of that is dying out. Like, I don't know if you've heard, but I've heard by going or attending elders' conferences, and a lot of times I've heard them say, this is the year of the seventh generation. This is the year that we have to teach the younger generation that's coming up now everything there is to know about Native culture and tradition. And a lot of times, because this is what they call the lazy year or fast life year for a lot of the teenagers, they're more interested in TV or videos, that you'll find that they don't get involved with the anything that has to pertain to Native culture. So from what I see is, if the beadwork doesn't continue, or the painting, or the storytelling, or anything that has anything to do with our culture, it's going to die, and it's going to die with our generation. So I feel that if we get together this book or a video on Native women, they are the teachers. They are the teachers of this generation. If they die out, then the children of this generation is not going to have anything to hold on to.
Well, first of all, I don't think that problem exists everywhere. And I think maybe that problem likely just exists around this regional area. But as I know from my people, we consider culture not art and crafts, but our language is 60% of our culture, mm-hmm. and everything else falls along with it. But my people, you won't find a little child not speaking our language, and they're very much into their culture. So perhaps maybe it's people away from their homes, like away from their reservations. Yeah, and I noticed people from Oneida, the women get together and have quilting, and they cook corn soup. And the young kids, they learn that too.
But by you doing this, this is helping other people to keep up with the culture.
Sure, yeah.
You know, because on my reserve, there's no, like, they're just coming back with the language. They're just learning how to have powwows. They're just learning how to get along together. And at one time, I could remember back when my grandmother looked after me, she was the one that was teaching me. And today my mom doesn't know. She knows, but she put it back. When she married off the reserves, she put it back. She left it on the reserve. She didn't bring it out with her. So I didn't have an idea as to who I was. And a lot of times when you're out on your own and you've never surrounded yourself with Native people, you will find that you are always feeling that you're on the outside looking in. Maybe once in a while you get lucky that you find a person that will take you in and teach you more. And like, even if that person isn't there, if I could have picked up a book when I was 14 years old and realized I was Indian, I would have probably felt a lot better about myself. But it wasn't until I was almost 30 years old before I started actually finding out that I am an Indian, and I have to be proud of who I am. And at one time, I felt really bad that I was Indian. Whites didn't like me because I was Indian, and Indians didn't like me because they thought I was white. So I was that person. And I think by having these videos where a lot of these teenagers, not just teenagers, even some older people have no experience with beadwork. I've got a class at Nanran. I've got two students, and they're both older people. They're elders that come there to my class. And from the time I started, they've been there. And how many teenagers are there? They're not ready for it yet. When they're ready, they'll come and they'll ask. And if there's no one there for them, they'll have to go and look for the material somewhere else. And this is one of the reasons why we're doing this, is to preserve it so that these native children and even adults can go there and find out. It does give them a little bit. It's not going to give them totally everything, but it does give them a little bit.
That's okay. Andrea, one of the things that happened when we went to one of the reserves was we said, do you know of any Native women? This was on Muncie. Do you know of any Native women who do traditional arts and crafts? We don't know anybody. We don't think anybody does that here anymore. So I began to ask around.
I don't believe that because...
Well, see, I don't believe it either. So I asked around, and then one woman would say, oh, there's this woman, and there's that woman, and my mother does this, and my grandmother does that. And it's that it's there, and there's not as much connection. And sometimes some reserves have programs to teach the younger ones, some don't. And it's like one reserve learning from another how they do it. Moravian Town has started corn growing again and revived stuff that was already dead and brought it back. So it's that kind of thing where they say it doesn't exist or nobody's interested. And as soon as you begin talking to people, what you find out is that people are interested and it exists. It's just sort of like under a blanket, hidden away somewhere.
So what are you asking me? Are you asking me that, is this essential? This video, is it essential?
Yeah, I guess I wonder if as part of the culture, if the artwork and the craft work, do you see that as part of what, when I listen to Carolyn talk, she says that's part of what she needs to keep her sense of being Indian, is the artwork, the craft work, the language. She's also talking about language.
For myself, language and my identity is most important. This is, for me, something just to show other people about me and about my culture. A lot of my work, I like this one, I'm doing a portrait of a baby. Now, that just to signify that, you know, to me and our future is important. That's what that painting is about. That we think about the unborn and the people who are just born.
Yeah.
And this is
corn washing basket.
Yeah, we do this right here.
Yeah.
And we do quilting.
I've never heard of that before. I came across it last week when that woman was talking about it, and I asked her, what is it?
Yeah, we wash corn in this.
On
and
my
we make corn soup.
It was taken away years ago. Everything that they've done, the medicine plants, everything that was learned years ago was taken away and taken up out west because the people that were doing that, like that was just to heal people when they were sick. Eh?
We do that here.
And what they did was they took it away from my reserve and they placed it out west because they were being laughed at so much. This is going back in time.
And his wife, she's a very talented woman. She makes clothes. She does quilting. I do some of both.
Yes.
Not that good at it yet.
See, Oneida was the reserve that was able to produce the most names. They what I've heard over and over again is that reserve, when it comes to setting up programs, when it comes to paying attention to a lot of these things, that the Oneida Reserve is doing more than most of the reserves close to the cities here.
Mm-hmm.
Kettle Point and Stony Point is the other one, Walpole.
I do believe that art is important, because I find that people learn better by someone not dictating to them.
Mm-hmm.
When they could learn something by looking at it, and they can learn and they can pick things out.
Mm-hmm.
And I find every artist has their own identity and something that they say about their culture. Like, for instance, this sweater here. Now, there's a lot in this too. The color green symbolizes the clanship of this woman. It's green, and the color green is for the bear. Now, these flowers here, they're traditionally Iroquois flowers, but you'll find that even the European people find these colors and flowers so attractive that this is in style now. They have adopted these flowers from the Iroquois people. Yeah. You notice last winter everybody was wearing them.
Yes.
And this signifies her nation. And that is the Oneida Nation. And their colors, this is their tribal belt. This is the red and white is the Oneida tribal belt. And the bear paw is the woman's clan. So, see, somebody just looks at that. They know the person. They know